Welcome to A Closer Look, where your host, Arth Gupta, talks to the leaders of some of the best companies operating in the small cap space today.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Hello and welcome to the Equity Guru podcast. My name is Arth, and I have with me today somebody who has an extensive background in artificial intelligence, the information technology sector, and the business landscape. This individual currently works at Microsoft as the head of AI and business development solutions, and has also joined a board of one of Equity Guru's client companies, Predict Medics. This gentleman is no other than, as you might have guessed it, Mr. Kapil. Hi, Kapil. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? I saw on your LinkedIn profile that you're originally from India. So tell us a little bit about how your journey began from India and got yourself here in Canada.
Sure. Good morning, Arth. It's nice to be with you on this podcast. Well, I started my journey by going to Dubai on vacation, and then ended up finding a job and started working in Dubai for a telco company, and then joined Philips IT division, which was then acquired by Digital Equipment, which was then acquired by Compaq, which was then acquired by HP. So I, you know, changed jobs without leaving one for a few years. And during that process, I also moved from Dubai to Canada. And I came to Canada in 2001. And in between, I also went to Singapore for 3 years to cover that part of the world for telco solutions. And then came back to Canada in 2017. And now I'm working for Microsoft in their AI business development team, focused on industry solutions. And glad to be here.
Wow. You lived a bunch of places and you've had a sort of extensive, career landscape. How, going back in time, could you have spotted, 20 years ago that you would be working in AI and, be on the advisory board of like a Canadian public listed company?
No, no, I'll be honest. No, this is not something that I planned, but I was always interested in new technology areas and just got attracted to anything new in the IT space. And that took me to a very interesting area in HPE. And that was the new emerging solution area in telco. And as you all know that in telco, every year there are new, either on the network side, new solutions, or on the customer side. So that kept me motivated to continue to look for new solution areas. And that led me to basically artificial intelligence, because analyzing huge amount of data is now even more possible because of hardware that is now available, which can process large amounts of data. And basically that led me to do a little bit more reading, experimentation, work with partners in the AI space, and before I knew, I ended up with Microsoft.
Wow, that sounds super exciting, actually. Well, speaking of AI, I'd like to actually ask you more about that, because these days I feel like, and I think I'm sure you'd agree that there are these like industry buzzwords that have been thrown around left, right, and center, and very few people tend to either understand them, and those who do understand them, are working on some truly, truly challenging problems, but the average person, the average Joe, is unable to sort of wrap their head around the sort of technology and, how the pace of technology is sort of seems like it's going way faster than, the pace of our lives. So big data, AI, machine learning, deep learning, these are all subsets of, computer science. And to a technologist like yourself, I'm sure you're familiar with these fields, but for somebody who's not aware of, who's not a technologist, who let's say has no background in technology or computer science, how would you explain AI to them?
Sure. So about 25 years ago, Bill Gates had a vision of creating general purpose AI. And he wanted Microsoft Research to build computers that one day could see, hear, talk, and understand human beings. So this is what artificial intelligence that he was talking about. In other words, artificial intelligence basically enables a computer to perform cognitive tasks that typically require human intelligence. And machine learning is a subset of artificial intelligence that enables computers and systems and robots and others to learn and optimize processes or tasks without having to be consistently programmed and reprogrammed. Now, if you take a look back when Microsoft first introduced a spell check feature, it was perhaps the first instance of artificial intelligence that we all came across. And it has taken this long for AI to become a reality, mainly because it took time for us to develop processors that can process large amounts of data to train machines.
Wow.
Does that help in simple language?
Yep, absolutely. I think I can recall the days of, you know, when I was using Microsoft Word and we had that clip art tool button that used to pop in here and there and give suggestions, and we would use word art to make posters, and that was the coolest design thing ever. So I do recall when, you know, and even today, the squiggly lines under words are a very clear example of, you know, AI being implemented in real life. Speaking of, how would you think, you know, how would good or how big do you think the scale and scope of AI within the industry is? Do you think AI is definitely being caught up? Almost all industry verticals are adopting it and trying to find large scale solutions to sort of, you know, make their products and their processes more efficient and make things faster, make things better. Do you think the industry, so to speak, in the business world, since you're in the business development space, is adopting to AI as fast as the research is happening in the sector?
Yeah, so let's first talk about, you know, artificial intelligence. As you said, you know, it has become ubiquitous. It is difficult to find any industry or nonprofit organization or governments not capitalizing on the benefits of AI and ML. Before COVID-19, there was a lot of discussion about human productivity versus machine productivity. But with COVID-19, machine productivity is a necessity, and it will remain an important option going forward. So even in healthcare, you can see today, AI is being used in screening of patients, contact tracing, as well as identifying patterns in coronavirus-related research, and also helping with diagnostics. So AI will continue to play a key role in almost all industries, but the real challenge, so, you know, in order to answer your question, so what is the inhibitor? So first and foremost, we have to understand that AI adoption is dependent on data, right? You really need data to train your models. So you need to collect data, you need to have the right data. So you have to focus on quality of data. And it takes time to figure out what data is needed for a particular use case. And then you want to identify sources from where you can get that data. And often data is stored in different systems, in different formats. So you want to make sure that there is consistency in the data from different siloed systems. You label them, and you need to train your models with that data and retrain your models. So it takes time and effort to strategize, harness, clean, and prepare your data sets. So my advice to anyone listening to this podcast and looking to get into AI deployments is to really spend some quality time at this first step. It will greatly streamline the rest of your processes. And this is crucial because you need good quality of information and data to train your AI models. I give you an example. I think a year ago, Vodafone CEO said that it would take them about 2 years just to prepare data for implementing AI. If you look at some of the industry analyst reports, and IDC said that 57% of executives identified not having the right data as one of the biggest barriers to AI.
Wow. Wow. You speak a lot about how data is important. What does the right data look like? Is it just, you know, systematically clean data that we're recording the data correctly and storing it in, you know, libraries or, you know, in documents or formats that is accessible and attainable so that we can use it later on? Or by data, do you mean like in a more abstract sense that what is it that we're recording and what is it that we're measuring?
Right. So good question. And this is where a lot of data scientists and others, you know, spend a lot of time early on to understand for a particular use case, how will we train our computer? So, you know, quite often what happens is that you end up with missing or incomplete data. And this can result in skewed or faulty learning, and which can ultimately lead to failed solutions. Now, when data is collected in silos across different business units, typically, you know, collected in various different formats, and they are stored in different databases. So this information is often spread across multiple applications in various formats, including videos, photos, and making it very hard to bring it all together while ensuring the quality of information. Moreover, the problem is the absence of a single unified repository in most of the enterprises today. In an ideal world, you know, if we had just one repository and common data model, then the life would have been very simple. Moreover, you know, if you look at unstructured data, meaning a mass data endpoints with no explanation as to what they represent. So this lack of context and categorization makes that data redundant for machine learning. So I can go on, but you know, these are some of the challenges that we see related to data. And that is why what I said earlier was that you need to take a little bit more time in preparing your data for AI, because with that data, you're going to train your models. And based on the training, you know, your models will behave and you will get the outcome.
Wow. Well, Kapil, thanks so much for that really, really incisive and very easy to understand take of artificial intelligence and the role of data in artificial intelligence technologies. You've given us a sort of, you know, overview about how the technology works. And now let's talk a little bit about PMed, because, you know, PredictMedics has one of those companies that has its core technology built around artificial intelligence. And you've spoken extensively about data and its importance. What do you think PMed is particularly doing well when it comes to core technology? Forget business, let's table that question for a while. What do you think it's doing extremely well with respect to its core technology?
Right, I think, let me first mention that I started my discussion with Rahul and PredictMedics team during this COVID-19 lockdown period. So a lot of things that I was briefed on, you know, in terms of the technology solution portfolio, company plans, etc., you know, virtually. And, you know, what I can say is that based on the information I received, the technology is very relevant to the needs of today. In terms of, you know, what more or what future improvements we can do, it's premature for me to talk about that. But what I find, you know, very exciting is that PredictMedics focuses on three very important and broad areas. So one is the impairment detection. Second is the screening of infectious diseases. And the third is face recognition to screen for mental health disorders. Now, these are three, you know, broad areas, but in order to deliver these use cases, the technology that they use, you know, it can also be applied in other verticals. So I would love, you know, to get my hands on the technology and really look under the hood. And we have already started some strategy sessions with a PMAT team. So waiting for this lockdown to be over to get into more details. But the beauty of AI is that, you know, once you build an engine, once you build this platform, it can be repurposed, it can be customized, and it can be leveraged in a new way with new set of data. You train that, you know, engine differently with different data, and you get different outcome. And I'm saying that in a very simple language. So this could open doors to areas like worker health and safety, surveillance in many industries, and many more. So, and also within the healthcare, as you move outside detection and diagnosis, there are regulations, you know, that can slow you down. So, and moreover, in healthcare, is delivered differently in different countries. So you also need to keep in mind as to, you know, how you want to now expand, you know, because it's delivered differently in Canada compared to US. So as a company, your end customer would be different in different countries. And you need to tailor your offering accordingly. And healthcare is also one of the industries where digitization is lagging compared to other industries. So one needs to carefully select the next frontier. So in my personal opinion, as a new organization, it is best to stay focused on your task at hand, which is, you know, this impairment detection, screening of infectious diseases, and screening of mental health disorders, and consolidate the position and then expand.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes, you can do it through Google Play, you can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now.
Welcome back.
That's absolutely very much true. I think Peter Thiel would agree with you on that. All great businesses are built on monopolies. And I think Predict Medics has one of those, you know, very unique solution, a very unique way to solve a very pressing problem, especially in the modern day and age. Wow. So you clearly seem to like PMAT technology, but you mentioned a little bit about how, you know, you see that you haven't yet had a chance to look under the hood of what exactly the technology is like, but I'm sure through your strategy sessions now you have an idea about it. In your background, as you know, in business development, specifically with respect to AI at Microsoft, do you see PMAT's technology being deployed across other industry verticals? Right now, they're in sort of the healthcare space where they're working on three different verticals within the healthcare space, but outside of this, do you see after speaking to Rahul, do you think the technology that PMAT has could be deployed across other industry verticals as well?
Yes, and I think I've mentioned this earlier also that, for example, in the manufacturing vertical as well as in the energy vertical, it's very important, there's a significant amount of investment going into worker health and safety. If somebody is impaired, you do not want that person to operate your machinery or you know, in your shop, on your shop floor. So how do you avoid those kinds of man-made disasters? And you know, if somebody has infectious diseases, so even in the manufacturing industry and other industries, you want to make sure that you are not spreading it. So obviously, you know, there is applicability. It's just then, you know, how do we position that, that, and how do we develop that business? That is where the focus will be.
True. As an advisor who sort of has an objective, neutral and third person eyeball towards the company and its operation, what would you say is the current biggest threat to PMAT as a company? If we were to do a very, you know, business school-y SWOT analysis, like, we've talked about the strengths and the opportunities that the business has. let's talk a little bit about what are some of the challenges, the core challenges that PMed needs to overcome, and what are some of the other core challenges that PMed might face in the coming future by either competitors or by developments in technology, etc.
So usually, what I find with small companies is that you become your own enemy by not remaining focused on your strategy, on your goal. It's very important not to get too distracted and try to do too many things, and you spread yourself too thin, and that becomes your biggest enemy, because the market is so big, opportunities are so many. I wouldn't worry about any third party to coming into this space, because there is, the opportunity is huge. What is important is to just remain focused on what we are setting out to do, and make sure that we do it in the best possible way.
Wow, I think that's a great sort of wrap up with respect to PMed. I'd now like to move on to a little bit of like open-ended. I'm a philosophy student, so I like to ask big open-ended questions. What great AI company do you think is nobody building?
Well, that's, I think it probably exists in a startup world in the world, somewhere, and maybe we have just not discovered it yet. But this is, just to answer this very interesting question, we need to first talk about what is an ideal AI company. And I can share with you my thoughts on that. I would say that a company with an open, secure, scalable platform that does not lock the customer to any one particular AI framework, allows you to develop a model once and deploy it anywhere. What I mean by that is that you deploy it in the cloud, on-prem, or at the edge. A company that is compliant to government regulations and meets all ethical diversity inclusion standards, and its platform and solutions, contribute towards improving the quality of life overall, that would be an ideal AI company.
Wow. What do you think about, an ideal company is such a difficult question to answer, but you bring upon some, important ideas, especially in the current climate. Speaking with regards to, the state of technology, you've had a very, very international background from India, Canada, Singapore, Dubai. And where do you think is, technology and innovation happening at its greatest pace? What do you think is, something that, what would you say is the country that you would bet on when it came to technological progress or like a geographical region?
Well, I think Canada, and again, we're going to limit the scope to AI, then Canada is really emerging as a global leader in artificial intelligence. And we have a strong pool of talent that is recognized worldwide. And our government, in 2016, the Canadian government announced about $1.3 billion funding for AI research and development. Today, if you look at Waterloo, which is one of Canada's main AI development hubs, with about 90 companies, and I know the list continues to grow. Toronto and Montreal are also not far behind. Montreal has the highest concentration of researchers and students of deep learning in the world. And Toronto has the highest concentration of AI startups in the world. So I would really love to see another dominant Canadian company like Nortel or Research in Motion in the field of AI.
Yep, you're very right. In fact, when I was in Toronto last summer, I had a chance to visit the Mars Discovery District, which is a extremely, extremely innovative hub for technology. I mean, it competes and in some cases even sort of, is at par and at level with a lot of the Bay Area startup ecosystem. So I completely agree that, Canada has a very unique place, especially with its intellectual talent that it brings in from, you know, either international students or it cultivates domestically, it could be the front runner in the AI race in the coming future. I'd say my final sort of open-ended question, and towards the end, we'll move on to some fun rapid-fire rounds. I'd say my final open-ended question would be, you know, back when you started out in your career, you couldn't, I guess, have possibly seen 20, 25 years ago that, you know, AI is going to be this like next big thing. And I think the world 20 to 25 years from now as well is going to look very, very different, hopefully, in a positive sense, than it is looking like right now. With that in mind, what would you say what AI was to you, what AI is to you now, something that, you know, that you have found yourself correctly in 20 years down the line, what would you say is the emerging tech that one should keep an eye out for? Is it quantum computing? Is it deep learning? Is it even better versions of artificial intelligence? Is it the business side? What do you think is going to be the sort of new frontier of technology that might, you know, sort of break the world or change the world for better in the next 20, 25 years?
I think all of the above, all the technologies that you talked about, you know, will change our lives as we go along. Definitely reinforcement-based learning models, you know, will bring more autonomous systems around us. We will get used to, you know, getting things done autonomously. The only challenge will be, you know, in which country we are able to make the right business case. The technology is you know, developing so fast in the AI space, whether you look at you know, the processing power that we are developing. You know, Microsoft recently announced that new hardware, you know, powerful hardware and a computer that they announced. You look at development in quantum computing that, you know, makes this processing of huge amount of data, you know, easier and derive intelligence out of that for us. So if I have to keep an eye on something, my next frontier would be the autonomous systems, not just autonomous cars and other things, but we will see a lot more autonomous things operating around us as we continue to make this, you know, advancement in technology.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kapil, for these questions. That sort of wraps up my first half of the interview, which was these long form questions about pragmatics and AI and technology. Onto some lighthearted stuff. I'm just going to ask you some rapid fire questions, and like you to give me the first response that comes to your mind. What's your morning routine?
Well, morning routine is to take my dog out for a walk. That's my responsibility in the morning.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Coffee, but you're from India. I thought you'd say chai. What was the last book you read?
This was Peter Diamandis' book. You know, it's called... You got me there. Jesus, I forget the name. But I read a couple of books at the same time. So the other one was Nine Lives from William. I forget the author's name, but very famous British author who has written about nine lives, and it's a story about nine different lives in India.
Oh, wow.
It was very interesting for me because I didn't know that we have, you know, this type of thing happening in India. Although I grew up in India, but most of the life I've spent outside India. So that was very interesting. I think it is William Dalrymple is the author.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's his book. And I recommend if somebody wants to learn a little bit more about India.
To read Dalrymple, well, that's definitely a true thing. What is one stock that you would buy outside of Predict Medics? if you could put all your capital into one particular, you could only buy one stock in your portfolio or bet on one company, what would you bet on? I guess outside Predict Medics and Microsoft, because you work for both.
I was about to say Microsoft.
Yeah, I sort of figured that. Outside of PMed and Microsoft.
I think that there are a few, but I like NVIDIA.
Wow, NVIDIA. And second to last, what is the best piece of advice that you remember? Something that inspires you, something that has guided you throughout in life?
Well, I think it is Abundance, the book name. I was trying to remember Peter Diamond is he, and I strongly recommend if anybody wants to learn about new technology, listen to his webinars. You will keep yourself up to date on what's coming down the pipe. What was your last question? I missed it.
My last question was, is there a sort of principle, a code, or an advice that sort of has always guided you throughout?
Yeah, so I think what I try to keep myself, I try to remind myself about is that, having good intentions and putting efforts behind those intentions definitely give you the right results.
Okay. Wow. That sounds great. And finally, I guess this is a little bit personal. If you had to give me or a younger 20-year-old, a piece of advice, what would you give them?
Well, I think what I tell my daughter I see, this generation much more busier with all these equipments, but I see less reading occurring, and that's one thing. If you read more, you actually analyze more and you develop that that skill and you broaden your view. And I think that one guidance that I got from my parents was to continue read, and that really will help. So I will strongly recommend everyone to read about multiple topics. So you can take one technology book and then you take a non-technology book at the same time.
Wow.
And that way you could just expand your views, your horizons.
All right. Well, that's all on my end, Kapil. Thank you so much for taking the time out with Equity Guru. I'm very, very certain with your insight and your advisory on the board and your presence on the board, PMAD and Rahul and the entire team is going to go on and do some great things and deploy their technology for the greater public good. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Arthur. It was very nice talking to you. Thanks.
That concludes another episode of Equity Guru's A Closer Look. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.